Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Reveal. It's Priyanka Raina with Deborah Hawkins, and we are so excited that you have decided to join us tonight. We have the wonderful Sandy on tonight, and she is going to talk about how to eat like a goddess. I mean, she's just phenomenal. She's kind of crafted her own way to do this. But before we do all of that, I want to tell you that you guys are muted. To raise your hands, it would just simply be *2. So again, let us know if you have a question. You just simply put *2 on your phone. It shows us on our dashboard that you have your hand raised. And then we will also, if you need to hear the replay or if you're joining us on the replay, you can always hear the replay at reveal.lyanca, that's LYANCA.com/live. So all of the replays that are currently running are there, and you can also check out who's coming out next on the schedule. So if you click the schedule button up in the right-hand corner, you can see who's our next guest. So, Deborah, talk a little bit about Sandy, and then we'll welcome her on.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to be here with you tonight. Happy Thursday, all of our Reveal listeners. Tonight, we have Sandy Zeldes on. Sandy is an author and conscious entrepreneur who has a long 17-year career as a chef and a caterer to high-profile celebrities and top business leaders. She's also a rebel expert nutritionist. I like that, by the way. And she's an EFT practitioner, passionate food lover, and sassy spiritual cowgirl who talks to horses. And I love that, too. Welcome, Sandy.
Thanks. So great to be here.
Love that. So, you know, I got to know before we get into everything else, tell me about how evidently you're being a spiritual cowgirl that likes to talk to horses. How does that help you in your work and eat like a goddess? How does that support you?
Oh, interesting. Thanks for asking me that. I was just with my boy today, and he's just, oh, my God, he's heaven. You know, that is an interesting question, and to me there's no separation, I guess, is the big answer, because all the work I do is the same at this point, in a way, because it's all about, this may sound corny, not to your folks, I know, but it's all about the heart, and it's all about communication and connection. And so I've kind of learned that with my horse as well, that we can do this throughout our whole lives, not just with each other. As humans, obviously, we have verbal communication, but there's a lot of nonverbal, and I'm going to call it spiritual communication, which is, you know, energetic and through the heart. And so he's really taught me a lot about that. Mm-hmm. It's very fascinating, and it's actually work I'm hoping to do with clients at some point, mm-hmm. because it's really fun.
You know, I had a feeling that you were going to say that, and I love that idea, because I actually have done some work with some horse therapy before, and it was so phenomenal, so interesting.
Oh, great!
Because all that nonverbal stuff is, and what came out of it was so surprising. Of course, I'll have to tell you about that on another conversation. You'd love to hear about it,
but
let's get into more. You know, basically, you know, what's your backstory? How did you get to be, you know, an author, a conscious entrepreneur, and, you know, and someone who just really, you know, teaches, you know, people, I'm assuming, you know, mainly women, you know, how to eat. I love that you say eat like a goddess, not a slave. Love that.
Well, and I came up with that after just watching what we're all doing, of course, you know, and in our society right now. And I just feel real passionate about us as women actually loving and respecting ourselves. And I'm going to give a very unusual answer I've never said before, but it all began actually with my mom. And that's really the truth. And she really kind of set me up for a better relationship, I would say, with food and my body. But then it went all astray, of course, as I got older, mm-hmm. and more self-conscious. And but I'll start with where I'm at today. So and give you some like kind of the backstory. And do you want the short version or the long version? What, how much time do we have here? What do you want?
I think we've got time because this is interesting to me. It's very interesting.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, there's several versions to this story, really, and there's layers upon layers, but basically, in my life today, I'm in my 40s, I'm in my mid-40s, and those are current pictures, so I'm pretty happy that I've done well with food and nutrition and taking care of myself. I like to stay healthy and youthful, and I feel good. And I feel good in my body. I thought about my weight or my size, and I feel satisfied when I eat. This is important. This is really important. I feel very satisfied, nourished, and I'm not food obsessed. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. I don't stress about it. I eat when I'm hungry. Okay, and I don't crave stuff.
You know what? Can I just jump in right there for one
second?
Yeah,
please.
You just saying that one thing, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that.
I'm serious.
I want listeners to really pay attention to this. I feel satisfied when I eat. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say that.
I
really had to stress that because I think that's important. You know?
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because I say it all the time, and to me, it's true. And I know how important it is because I'm not going to say nobody. I know so few people who feel that way. I get it. I really, 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 really get it. And I want to tell people that, no, this is so right there for you. Like, it's more than right there, and my clients do it all the time. But so this is where I am now. And I wanted to say my age because people never know my age. And so I'm not like 25. I'm not 35. I'm, you know, in my mid-40s, and this is where I am. And I do eat when I'm hungry, and I don't stress about it. I don't worry. And I don't crave sweets, and I don't struggle with being confused about what to eat. Okay, I kind of know what I'm doing, you know, what works for me, and I do it. I love food, and I do think about food in a positive way, and I find time, you know, it's a priority to incorporate health and healthy meals into my life. And I can enjoy sweets, but it's a choice, and it's not an out-of-control urge anymore. You know, it's not, I don't have to hide food, you know, I don't have to not have it in the house, although lately, it's another story, but because I'm doing something new, and so it's interesting. I'm, you know, doing the same work on myself right now on some things. But I will say that that's because of that's different. It's not an out of control urge, and so I can be around things and not eat them without stressing. So this is where I am now, and because what I work with is more of what I've developed over time. This has all been developed based on my clients. This is not where I started in my work, working on the emotional issues. I started thinking about food. I was a nutritionist and a chef. Realized this is not, I mean, so many health conscious people are not struggling with that. Just like I wasn't, that wasn't my issue either for a long time. So where I'm at today is not how it always was. I'll give you a little backstory about what happened. And, you know, I was I grew up in a food loving family, very health conscious.
I can relate.
And, right. And food was super important. I've got a lot of stories about.
Yes, I have questions around that too. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and like, so I loved food. There's all these pictures of me that I've actually just gone through recently of me stuffing my face with cream. It was always my favorite thing. And, you know, and then I was, that was my favorite thing. And to this day, cream is like, I still love cream. And I'm a professional chef. I was a professional chef for a long time. And I say high-profile celebrities and business people so people know I've seen a lot of different types of people. And I've had a lot of experience with food, extensive experience with food through cooking and nutrition. And here I was, you know, so knowledgeable about all of this. And yet here I was struggling with the same things everyone else does, the cravings and very common and good and bad foods, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, beating myself up, negative thinking, you know, and sometimes being out of control of stuff. Oh, don't put the cake in front of me, you know. So That was when I was younger, and I had some health symptoms. They weren't severe at that time. I was younger. I had some the classic hormonal symptoms, cramping and acne, PMS, insomnia, and I could kind of fluctuate on my weight pretty quickly. And
yeah.
This was all, yeah, even though I was eating, and I say this is important because some of my clients can really relate to this part as well, I was extremely health conscious. I was eating probably 99% organic foods I cooked myself and, you know, knowing what I was doing. And I was frustrated because, you know, here I knew all this stuff. I was so health conscious. And my cravings were out of control. And most of all, the mental chatter was the worst, really.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't shared this before. I'm not sure why, but
because this is reveal, Sandy.
I know.
Listen, this happens every time, I love it. Leonica and I love it.
We do, and we're so grateful.
We are grateful.
Real. Kind of,
every speaker we've had has said, I've never said this before, but, so please go right ahead.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that one of the biggest pieces to this whole thing, as I'm telling you this story again that I've told so many times, is, you know, the negative, what used to scare me the most. I used to think, oh, my God, like, am I ever going to stop being able to stop these negative thoughts? Like, constantly thinking about food, like, every second of my day. I was obsessed. I'm going to say neurotic. I was neurotic, you know, and I would just, nothing could work. And I would eat and I wouldn't be satisfied. And so basically what happened, and the first turning point for me was probably, it's long ago now, it's probably about 10 years ago now, maybe more. No, it's longer than that. It's about 15 years ago when I'm trying to remember exactly when I started to study holistic nutrition, not just on my own, but I went to school. Really good program I did. And I suddenly, you know, shifted my paradigm, and what I implemented worked. It really, 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 really worked.
Oh, gosh.
And I was able to drop my rigid paradigm, my food paradigm, for the first time. Because of respect, really, for the people that I was learning from, and, you know, hundreds of hours of workshop, you know, it was very extensive, and national speakers. It was not a local. It's hard to explain. It's a little different than what I'm seeing out there with holistic, but it was actually quite. I was networked in with nationwide, basically. So with, like, you know, top thinkers, and so I learned things that I just really didn't know before. So suddenly I had some new information that actually shifted everything for me. I started to sleep better, feel less anxious. Again, I could eat and feel satisfied then suddenly. And I could say no to the cake in front of me, right, without using willpower. And so everybody around me.
That's exactly why we're here. Like,
right. No, we don't want to.
If anyone can take anything away from, yes, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Like, because I totally know what you're saying when you're saying how you shifted. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so the neat thing, you know, this, I really, really tell every bit of this story for a reason, because I know exactly what people are going through, and I want them to hear that, like, so the neat thing was suddenly it didn't matter that it was sitting in front of me. I noticed, oh, my God, I'm not running to the dessert table. Like, wow, this is so cool. I don't even care, you know. And so it was a new way of being for me. It was really weird, and it was different, and it was great. But there's two turning points for me. As probably everyone knows, it had to not just be the nutrition. There was an internal shift that had to happen, because there were still times, of course, when I wouldn't implement, right, what I knew worked for me to make it so the sweets were not so appealing. And I wouldn't take care of myself, right?
Mm.
And so this is where, aha. This is kind of the main thing I work with now, is this internal piece. And why was I doing that? What was going on when I wasn't following through with the course of action? And I have to say it again, because it's the only thing that matters in life, period, for me, for all of us. like, what is going on when we're unable to follow through, right, with the stuff we know works for us or makes us feel better.
Right, and it's always an inside job, right? I mean, it's always.
It's an inside job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so instead of feeling shame and blame, I always say this, it's really important because people get so down on themselves. It's not about shaming or blaming ourselves. It's like there's just something else going on we're not aware of usually that creates.
Okay, that's like a tweetable right there. It's not about shaming and blaming. It's about, like being curious, huh? Like, what else
exactly.
is going on here?
Thank you. Yeah, it's just be curious. And drop the judgment because guess what? We all have this where, you know, me included all the time where, you know, you have to get curious with yourself and let go of your own judgment and be able to just be with yourself, you know, and without jumping ahead, right? So this is where it all happens. So that was my next turning point was when I discovered it kind of all worked perfectly, actually. Everything came into my life at perfect moments. I had always done different modalities. People always ask me, how did I get into this? How did I get into that? Well, my whole life I've been doing, you know, energy modalities, let's call them, and looking at different, you know, alternative things, and I'm certified in many things. But I really dove deep into using emotional freedom techniques, meridian tapping, about 10 years ago, and then became certified from several different people and, you know, used it on hundreds of clients. And when you start, you know, I volunteered.
And Sandy, we actually love EFT, but we may have some listeners that may not be familiar with that. Would you just give a quick, just your quick version of what EFT
Absolutely.
Is?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Emotional Freedom Techniques is the founder, Gary Craig, calls it, and it's later being called Meridian Tapping by many because that's exactly what it is. It's basically an emotional version of acupuncture. If anybody's had acupuncture out there, it's basically stimulating traditional meridian points on the body. This is a you know, an Asian modality, and we're using our fingertips. It's really that simple, and this is where it doesn't get simple, but it has to do with accessing trapped emotion and subconscious material when we're tapping. And how do we know this? Because that's what happens as we use it. So for me, I don't have a theory. It's just I see what happens when people tap, and basically what happens is you experience and released very quickly, usually, a lot of emotional material that's kind of, we didn't even know was there. It's kind of like a bubble floating to the top of the surface and popping, you know, the water. So it's really just a release technique, an emotional release technique, a consciousness technique. And I use the word consciousness literally, like your thought, your awareness. So does that answer it super succinctly?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Leonka and I love it and use it, but I just wanted to make sure there may be people who aren't familiar. And that was a great explanation. And everyone, you can also, all you'd have to Google it. There are plenty of examples out there for you to check out. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, And so what happened with this, I wasn't using it for food. I was just using EFT for myself. And what happened naturally was, like, I noticed everything had changed. So I'll give you a better way to explain emotional freedom techniques is to say how it works is, in people's lives, an example is what happened for me, this thing about not always being able to follow through. Sometimes we call it self-sabotage. Sometimes we call it a lot of things, you know.
I recognize that.
Yeah.
I recognize
right? It's when we say, I don't have the time.
Yep.
Oh, I don't have the time.
Oh,
we make tons of excuses, right? And it's okay. Like, this is just interesting. And we all do this usually, not always, but there's something subconscious out of our awareness, basically. There's a reason. We have a good reason. We just don't know what it is. And so, for example, emotional stress, you know, is a root cause And we all know this, it may sound obvious, but often our specific stressors are not so obvious for us as individuals. That's what's interesting, is mm-hmm. most of the time I will find that, and myself, you know, again, this is, we're all the same in this regard, I think. Things are under the surface sometimes of our awareness. Does this make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so, and with food, it's, you know, any habit, really, any habit mm-hmm. that feels slightly compulsive, I find that this is a really important place to look. And so the follow-through is very interesting, and where it all happens.
Mm-hmm. So not you feel best. Like when you started the EFT, then that shifted your practice quite a bit?
It was fascinating. So I love telling this. So it's been an evolution. I'm still the same person I was as a kid, and I'm still the same person I was 20 years ago and 10 years ago. I'm still a chef. I'm still a food lover. I'm still passionate about nutrition. And I used to start there with people, and, you know, I consider myself a brilliant practitioner and, you know, savvy and helping people with complex, not health issues, but, you know, getting healthier and changing their diets. And I quickly discovered that, man, these people don't need another diet plan. That's not where
yeah.
the struggle is. You know.
Yes. Oh, my God,
people,
yes.
Yes.
We don't, I mean, people, if you added them up, really, I mean, how many
right.
diets have been, are out there and have been and will be? I mean, it's ridiculous almost.
I know. And then we get stuck on the esoterics. Well, do you like this diet? Do you like that one? And I feel like I have to say, hey, whoa, back up. Are we shooting at the wrong target? Because this isn't true of everyone, by the way. This, I'm not saying this is true for every single person out there, but for a lot of people today, what I'm seeing or what I think is happening, I don't have statistics on this except for how many people are dieting every day in America, but we have become so diet obsessed and thinking there's a better diet plan each day. And even good, I mean, they're all good. A lot of them are great. I can't say anything to, but it's like, is that the target? Are we talking about that, or are we talking about
mm-hmm.
addiction? Because if you can't stop eating the junk food or going through the drive-thru, does it really matter?
Right. Well,
okay.
And, you know, it's not just how many diets are out there. It's, and what, when us talking about them, it's also just about how, you know, there is a comment about every time that we put something in our mouth. Or
right.
there's a mental comment, right?
That's right. Thank you for saying that. That is so, thank you so much for saying that. This is something that is so important. And it's really a big problem because people get beat down by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that it creates a negative spiral downward. It's actually a secondary problem that's created from dieting. You know, it really is. I think it's a secondary problem. So, you know, people have the original issue, which I feel from what I've experienced and seen, the people I work with this issue, emotional stress. And then there's a secondary problem from having the food issues of the negativity around, you know, feeling bad and guilty all the time. So then that becomes something to work through as well, how
right.
we beat ourselves up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone out there, if somebody's struggling with this, the first thing I say, you know, is, you know, you're not alone. I mean, this is so common. And what if the problem isn't the problem you think it is? You know, what if the problem isn't the weight? What if it isn't the diet? You know, and so you can let yourself off the hook. With those, you know, with that.
I think, yeah, right. Let's say that again. That's really big. What if it's not the diet, you know? What if it's not really about that? Or, you know,
that's right.
There's way more pieces to the puzzle, you know, than that.
Yeah, it's to just, everybody just let yourself off the hook. And one of my favorite people who some people may know, Brad Yates, he's an EFT practitioner, says that. Yeah, I love him. And he said,
he's great. And he's been around. Yeah, he knows his stuff. He's been around a long time.
He's a sweetheart. And we did a class together. I don't have it.
Oh, did you really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, we did a body love class. It's really, 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 really neat. And I will put it back on my site because it's really sweet. And we did 4 hours of tapping. But he says, yeah. And he says that self-sabotage is just self-love. Misdirected.
Oh, my God, that's a tweetable, Leonka.
I know.
It is so
say that again. Say that again.
Yes.
He said something like, when we were talking and working on this, you know, he said, self-sabotage is self-love misdirected, basically.
I love
and paraphrasing.
Self-sabotage is self-love misdirected. Oh, that is so good, Sandy.
Well, and because what we're trying to do when we're, quote, in sabotage is, I mean, what is sabotage? It's just something out of our awareness we're trying to protect ourselves from.
That's not even tweetable. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just something. Say that again, please.
Well, it's just something that we're trying to protect ourselves from. It's just often out of our awareness. And can I give you an example?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think it's good women
here. We talk
this.
About this all the time. I'm sorry, but we do talk about this all the time. Yeah.
Okay, great. And the reason why I say this is because, again, I'm always surprised at how many women feel so alone that I talk to. And, like, they're the only one. And I just want to say, at this point, I'm starting to think it's universal. And that's why my courses all include this body.
I would totally agree with you. Universal.
Yeah, well, that is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's universal, and I was going to give a specific universal that one of the subconscious things people protect them from have to do with past experiences, but what type? Any, just so you know, it could be anything, it doesn't matter, but the memories and the emotional stress from experiences that we still hang on to, that's how our memories, I feel, and there's some research about this work, they're kind of encoded in our consciousness, which is subconscious and our conscious awareness. And so one of them has to do with sexuality and our experiences with men, and a lot of women have subconscious blocks, it's fancy words, but, past experiences that they're protecting themselves from getting back into. And food is a great, 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 great barrier for that. And I don't know if I've ever not seen that piece. And I don't mean abuse. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about any kind of disappointments, resentments, hurts, fears, relationship experiences, of course abuse. But anything to do with that, we are using our bodies as interference, right? So no surprise, but this comes out in behaviors in food too.
That's really powerful. And, and I know many people, and myself included, I want to ask you something about myself here in a minute. But I want to go back just to one thing that we were talking about self-love. And, I know we throw that word around all the time, and it's really, you actually have to work to discover it to really begin to feel it, don't you think? It doesn't. We don't just say, "Oh, I'm going to love myself," and it just happens. It's a learning of a tenderness and a gentleness and laying down the judgment. Wouldn't you say?
Ooh, I'm going to do something really interesting and disagree with you. and you know what I think?
Okay,
of this?
Cool.
Well,
disagree with you. Well, here's what I'm going to disagree with. I'm going to disagree that it has to be learned. Personally,
I figured you were going to say that about the work part, right?
I don't think we have to work at it at all. So everybody just let yourself off the hook. So here's what I think. This is me, right? This is my experience. And I was going to quote something that I can't see right now clearly enough. But it's the quote is basically, it's from Amachi, the hugging saint, the Indian hugging saint. She's one of my, favorite teachers. And, basically it says, even though the sun, is thousands of miles away, the lotus still blooms. and Alma's love is still with you, basically. I'm totally paraphrasing. But you get the point. And what I think is our own self-love is like the sun that's obscured by the clouds. Sun's always there. Our love, it's just who we are. But it gets obscured by, frankly, I think our negative thoughts and trapped emotion that kind of creates a lot of negative thoughts that we're not aware of. So I personally see, and this is what I love about tapping, that you can literally just let go of a lot of negativity. Again, this is, we all have this. There's no shame and blame in this at different points in our lives. You don't have to force yourself. You can actually let it go for real without, you know, not positive thinking, just release work where it's, you let go of the root causes is what I see. This is what I've seen over the years. And people, it's kind of just there, you know, whatever that quote love is.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. And, you know, and it helps me to recognize it's that part of me that thinks I always have to do something.
Exactly.
You know,
thank
rather
you.
Than,
exactly.
I just already am love, right? I don't really
exactly.
have to do
exactly.
anything. But see, that's part of my, you know, that's one of those pieces that's there for me to look at and become aware of
yeah.
because I'm constantly thinking I have to do something,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is so, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So thank you for really, you know, talk mm-hmm. about revealing. That's, you know, that's
well,
brilliant to remind us that we already are that. We don't really have to do anything. Yeah.
No, and this is a profound thing, that, but you can experience it for yourself when you tap something out or you let, and I use other techniques as well with tapping, but when you release, they're basically release techniques, when you release the stuff that's in the way, I think the sun is just there.
Right.
And that's just
like the sun's always there, whether there's clouds or not. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I see people do this. So, for example, I'll give you a client example, and there's legions of these. So here's one that comes to mind. I'm working with someone. She's very, I don't know, depressed, but she's, you know, really low mood, low energy, low motivation, thinks there'll never be a day where she doesn't crave her junk foods, you know, the things she calls junk, and the drive-through, and can't even picture making a salad, and just not motivated. And she's like, I just don't know how to get my mojo back. And so we start working together. This is without nutritional support. This is without supplements, which I do a lot of as well for moods and energy. But we weren't doing that. We're just clearing energy. And within, you know, after we were tapping on her specific, where she was at, basically, how she was feeling, she was just letting go of stuff she didn't even know was there. I mean, she was shocked mm-hmm. every session. I wish I could just share, you know, her recording.
Right.
People do this all the time. Like, I had no idea. I was so upset. Like, I had no idea. And, you know, going on and on and on. And then the neat thing is when you do, it's just like, you know, some people have done cleanses and detoxes, and you know how it feels when you let go of toxins.
Right.
You know, your eyesight gets better. You know, you just have more energy. You feel happy for no reason. That's how she felt after. And guess what? Her, quote, self-love showed up as action. And personally, this thing we call self-love is just a state of being where you do things that work for you naturally without having to kill yourself over it, and you stop beating yourself up. And the Dalai Lama says, and I can't remember if he said it first or I did. I don't know. I've been saying it so long, and he must have said it first because he's so cool. But he said, you know, when I heard him speak in Oregon a while ago, love is, right now, love is compassion in action. So think about that. It's compassion. Right, for ourselves. And we don't realize we're just beating ourselves up. So she was just so down on herself and almost not even aware of it. And when she let go of all the stress and anxiety and the fears and from the past, most of it, that was still acting on her today, we didn't talk about food. We never even went there. It was like, she started making salads. She started shopping. She started meal planning. She's like, Sandy, I've never wanted to do recipes. Like, that's just never happened. And I'm all excited to do a new recipe this week. And it lasted. This wasn't a one-hit wonder. This lasted. And that happens all the time. So her son was right there. I mean, we didn't give her sunshine. She just removed the clouds, basically.
Yeah. No, and I love that you said that, you know, her self-love showed up as action. I mean, that's just so powerful, that one statement.
It does for all of us, I think. Yeah, and some of us, our actions are going to bed. No
action. Well, exactly, yeah, turning off the TV or the computer or your cell phone or, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Boundaries, you know, really good boundaries.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Okay, well, I have something personal I want to, since we are talking about reveal, this is pretty personal, so I'm hoping you can shed some light on it with me. You know, I'm not an overweight person. You know, I probably got on more pounds now than I have, but you know, it's not like I've never actually had to worry about what I ate or anything. So, I mean, that's still not – weight is still not really the issue. But for many years, I've had this thing that I do where I don't care for sweets at all during the day, and I can eat, perfectly healthy during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then at night, it's like I want popcorn, I want ice cream, I want – and I kind of know why. I mean, I've done enough work. I've done, you know, plenty of work about it over the years. So I have an understanding, but I'm still not sure why I'm still doing it. So here's the thing that, you know, that through tapping and many modalities, like you were talking about, my mother passed away when I was a child. So I didn't have a lot of supervision. So it wasn't like I had meals or anything, you know, at the table anymore or anything like that when my mother passed. So, I mean, I realized that at night when I was lonely, you know, I would have candy bars or snacks or things like that. And I'm sure that was the way that I was soothing myself. And so, you know, I'm clear that there's still something there, that's, you know, probably why I'm still doing this in the evening. Even though I've done all kinds of work on it and all kinds of tapping, I mean, it's not like I have a weight issue or anything, but I'm clear that, you know, I'm, you know, eating crap late at night. And I still think it's trying to put that sweetness back or that self-soothing back or something. But I don't know, even though I understand that, I don't know why that I don't stop. So what would you say about that?
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And, of course, you're not alone. This is, like, beyond common, okay? I hope you know that. It's really, 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 really common. You're not alone at all. This is what we're doing. And a lot of people not. I'm trying to think if I've even ever had a client who.
And, you know, it's not anything like.
It's very common.
Since I'm not overweight, it's never been like anything like, you know, so there's not been big motivation to like, oh, well, you know, if I do this, I'm going to lose the 10 pounds or the 20, whatever, you know. I mean, there may have been more motivation for me to change it if that was an issue, Sandy, you know.
Well, and what I would say to you, I mean, this is what I don't have an answer right now without asking you a bunch of questions. And so the first questions I would ask have to do with, you know, this is covered in everything I do with my clients and in my home study and everything where I go over the physiological, is it a physiological or is it an emotional craving? So you just kind of hit on all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of highlight both when you talk about nighttime cravings, just so you know. It usually is both. And the second thing I want to ask you before I forget to ask people do this all the time. They say, oh, I've done a lot of modalities. I mean, no one contacts me who hasn't tried law of attraction, all these different energy modalities, every diet.
Right.
And so what I want to know, though, is were you doing it yourself or were you working with an expert who actually had experience? I don't mean like someone who, like someone really experienced with a modality.
No, you know what? No, actually, no, seriously, I, you know, because I've done and so many mm-hmm. modalities myself, you know, I'm doing it myself and
okay,
I think it's because, yeah, I haven't actually gone to an expert about it, but because it's never been, you know, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
no, they haven't
stuck out that much.
Yeah, it's not. It hasn't been enough. And you know what? As I say this too, Sandy, I'm recognizing that even the tapping I've done, I think I've gotten to a certain point, but then I would just stop.
Exactly. So thank you. You just answered my question. Okay.
Okay.
So what I would say to people is doing it on ourselves. You're not. I'm just going to say it. You're not an expert, and though it is simple, it looks simple when people Google it. You know, we can't. We're not always best working on ourselves, number one, myself included. I seek out help if I have a really serious issue. Again, you said this isn't as serious, so you know, you're just kind of dabbling. But I would say that's a very important piece for people, is to actually let support in, number one. Number two, and if a different eyeball, we're not objective with ourselves. And you just said the most important piece, we always stop.
Yeah.
We don't really follow through with that.
Well, you know what? And I never really thought about that, Sandy, until this minute when I told you that I've tapped on it and I've done stuff, but at some point I would just stop doing it, you know.
Exactly.
Which maybe I was about to reveal something that I wasn't ready to alone, you know. I mean, maybe that's
Exactly. I think that's really true. And again, because this hasn't been a super upsetting issue for you. You haven't needed to, but I would say for people who are really struggling, you know, you got to get help. And
mm-hmm.
And you do want support. This is not. I like to say that this is not. This is a tip of the iceberg issue. You know, what we're seeing on the surface is just the tip. There's really a lot going on here, and what's neat about it, what I've discovered. Again, I'm not referring to you. Your issue sounds like, you know, you're really okay with it. But for people who this is a major struggle for what you're describing, and
right.
they're really upset about it, what's happening is we've got a lot under the surface there. Not to be afraid of it. It's no big deal. I mean, it's affecting you in a big way. But we can address it. And when we do, your whole life blooms. It's not just about the food. It's your relationships with everybody, not just partners, but your kids, your friends, your coworkers, your boss, whatever, your career, your creativity. I mean, it's all in there, you know? So
mm-hmm.
it's an opportunity to take a quantum leap is what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we address, you know, what's under that tip. So I would say, for you, someone who's not necessarily like, oh, you know, it's just so serious. I can live with this. I would say don't dabble, even for you, like, because you've noticed yourself, you stop yourself, or maybe you don't
right.
know enough about how to really push through, and that's fine. Like, over years and years and years, I only get more and more clear on how to work with people and get through subconscious material, because we are our own worst enemy, so that's why I like people overseeing me when I'm having a block of some sort, because I know I'll stop myself, so that's how it works. So I would say, you know, get some support, even one or two sessions. Maybe you wouldn't need much. I don't know. But, and then the other piece I'm going to comment on, because this is where I'm a little different. I'm not just one or the other. I do work with, there's such a thing as physiological cravings. And no, are they the main thing for my clients? Probably not. But there's little things you can do that make an enormous difference in your nighttime cravings
mm-hmm.
That our society at this point in time is not doing. It's a societal shift. It has to do with how busy and stressed we all are. We've taken this shift off the Richter scale, you know, into not taking care of ourselves. And it's a long socioeconomic political issue, I think, but there's something that's happened where I feel like there's this trend of not we've just forgotten how to take care of a human being, you know. And so, you know, we all need to slow down a little bit, I think, and start to feel like food's our friend. And
yeah,
so like, for example, habits have been thrown out, like breakfast, you know. So and all of this is in all the materials that I have, and it's actually quite simple. You don't need to read a book about it. You can, but basically it takes me 5 minutes to explain to my clients, and when they try it, they say, oh my goodness, it really made a difference. Mm-hmm. So there is some, there's some stuff, you know.
Sure.
You know, and
can you tell us a little bit about how to find more of that? I'm sorry, I didn't know if we... about how to find a little bit more of that information from you. I know you have a website that you put together for our show.
Yeah, I did.
Super excited. I mean, you know, just this topic alone can sometimes be so taboo, even though it's always on the forefront, right? We'll Google it by ourselves, but we won't have it all the time with everyone else, right? So that's really what I love about the Reveal show. But the also another thing is, you know, when we're being so taboo, we're like, oh, I'm on a computer, I'm going to figure out how to, you know, how to do more conscious so-called dieting, right? So, but you don't ever really work with an expert. And so I just want to give callers a little bit more insight of how do they contact you and how, you know, how would they work with you? Because it's so profound. And once you can get through some of that stuff, it everything opens up, right? It really
does.
It's
true. And I mean, I can't tell you how, and my clients have shown me this. I've just, this isn't textbook for me. This isn't a course I took. There's people teaching this now, but nobody was when I was doing it. And, you know, I discovered through people that I worked with that, you know, wow, we worked on this issue, and now they're making a ton more money, you know, out of the blue. Like, it affected
their
finance. Like, oh, my God, they just got the job of their dreams out of the blue, because it's a long story, but, like, these, quote, miracles will happen of consciousness, I think, and they just can't believe it. Or they manifest a soulmate out of nowhere. I mean, not out of nowhere, but, like, things happen quick.
Right, but it feels
and,
like that way.
Yeah, and it's before they lose weight. It has nothing to do with your body. You know, this is your energy. And
Yes.
I just want to say that I really do need to say that, because it's not authentic for me to say that this is a weight loss. I mean, this is a love yourself, and then the world changes. And guess what? You get to be a healthy weight for you. And personally, I don't have an agenda about weight. I think women are beautiful of all sizes. So, but my clients do what works for them, and they come into harmony and balance, and then the rest of their life seems to morph too. Or even if they're uber successful, which a lot of my clients are, you know, somehow that shifts for them in a way that's easier. So, like, one of my clients was in a career she loved, but she didn't like working with people and was stressed every day of her life to the point of unhappiness. And she thought, God, but I'll never get another job in this field. It's so high level. It's so, I'm at the, you know, this is as far as it goes. And within 2 weeks of working together, she was had this idea that she'd never had before after 20 years of being in the field. And she had the same industry. I mean, it was a miracle. All the people she ended up working with, she was in love with, and they were in love with her. And it was the, you know, job of her dreams, paid even more, and it was still in the same department or something. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was heaven for her. So stuff like that, right? So, life shifts. And that's what happened for me. I wasn't even focusing on food. I was just tapping away, you know, on my deeper things, and suddenly noticed that everything had changed around me, right? So I don't know if I went off tangent just there, did I? But I wanted to give an example.
No, I think it's and what I love about your work, Sandy, is that it's not you know, you're not this like concretized into you must eat this way, or it's got to be paleo, or it's got to be this, or it's got to, you know, I love that your work is, you know, evidently much more individualized into bringing it all the way, you know, around back to, you know, the most important thing is getting someone past the blocks of letting themselves love themselves, you know.
Exactly.
And like you were saying, when that happens, then it sounds like, you know, like you were saying, you know, that, love showed up as action, you know, and when love shows up in your life, yeah, I guess, you know, it can change your work, it can change your body, it can change, you know, everything. So I'm over the moon about the way that you put all this, and that there's no, you know, one right way, because
I want to say that.
I cannot stand this idea, you know, when people get on a bandwagon, like it is like,
right.
you know, it reminds me of like
right.
preachers, you know?
Right. I know.
Like I'm from the South, you know, so I can say that, you know, like, you know, there's preachers go, you know, it's this way or it's, you know, the hell highway or whatever. And sometimes people get that way about food and.
Yes. Yeah,
I can't stand it, you know. So I love
your freedom
in this. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I call myself a rebel nutritionist because, you know, honest to God, there's not one way. And you know, like, I'm so impressed with how wise we are when we just let go of our clutter, right? And I'm saying this because I've seen it. It's not just theory for me. This is what I see is that I'm not saying it's overnight. I mean, it can be, but it's, you know, if you do the work, you let go. I mean, people can let go of a dogma or of all the stuff they think and do something they know instead from, like, a body wisdom, a different place. Is it, you know, it can change. It can change in a way that's organic and natural. And guess what? We all need different things at different times in our lives. You know, I just have one of my favorite practitioners. I'm not going to say his name because I don't even want to get the argument started or the conversations about food started. Change his story after, I don't know how many years, he's been like a famous practitioner, 20 years, just changed. Oh, I was wrong. I was wrong. And I'm like,
oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
Of course, because we're all wrong all the time, because the only thing that's right is your own body wisdom.
Yeah.
And your, you know, what's going on for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times when we need to do things different. So we all get to choose from a level of peace with food so we can make a conscious choice.
Mm. Yes. Well, this conversation, I mean, I'm so into it, I could go on and on. But, Leonca, do you want to talk about what she's offering to our listeners tonight, or do you want to take a couple questions first, or which way you want to go?
Let's take a question first, quick, and pull all that up, and then let's take a question first. Let me see.
Okay.
Let's see. And remember to raise your hand at *2, but I did get some questions in the chat because I tend to get more questions on the chat because I know some of these questions are they're a little more private sometimes. So that's cool.
I'm okay with that. If people just want to eat, you know, send them in like and want me to answer something, you don't have to say their name or. Yeah.
Right.
More than
it tends to be the case. I like this. How can I love my body even if I'm not where I want to be?
Yeah, that's the question I get asked all the time. Thank you for asking it. And we kind of hinted at it, and I just want to kind of reiterate, and I want to give an example. Here's what I see. How can you love your body even if you're not where you want to be? So there's a paradox in here. We think that if we just do this or we just do that, and it's not always weight loss, right? It could be changing something about our, you know, our features. It could be, you know, there's something we're unhappy about, our height, all these things we don't like. We're always kind of judging ourselves, not just weight, but we think if we could change it, that somehow we would be happy, right?
Mm.
And so what if it's just the opposite? You know, and so we can't beat ourselves up enough to love ourselves, right? And the happiness comes first. Now, how do we do this? So it's kind of what I said earlier. What I've seen is there's often, that's often a tip of an iceberg. And the iceberg about body image is often for women, not always. This isn't universal. But, you know, preteen or teen years, there's some kind of body image story that got developed that usually we can collapse. This is common. We have this, something we might think consciously today as innocuous happens, you know. But in our culture, we're very body conscious. And we're very judgmental of each other at that age. And there's lots of cultural differences in our society. And so there's a lot of body image stuff that happens. This is kind of one piece, I would say, that that's a tip of the iceberg thing when we feel like we can't love ourselves even though we're not where we want to be. I think you can still love yourself and love your body even though you're not where you want to be. I think it's a matter of releasing any subconscious body image issues that started a long time ago, or it can come from other things that might, you know, some other trauma. That's my experience. This sounds heavy. I know this sounds really heavy. Pardon the pun, but it's not. It's actually...
It's a big, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big topic, but it's common to...
Yeah.
Everyone. No one's alone with, you know, having subconscious, you know, issues that have happened and different things. Doesn't have to be 20 years of therapy in my experience. However, I will say if someone's having really serious issues, you know, obviously please seek, you know, qualified expert medical help. But I see this being something that can be released through looking at body image a little more deeply. And looking at the negative thoughts and where they come from, because I do think we can, and I see my clients do it, let up on the judgment, the self-judgment. And then what we notice is a lot more compassion and a lot more motivation. It's not very motivating to be down on ourselves. We think we're going to beat ourselves into action, but it doesn't really work that way. It doesn't really work that way.
No, it doesn't. It actually hurts us more, right? So we might see some outwardly results, but we beat ourselves a lot more. So it's a lot more.
And
you know,
I see, absolutely, and it shows us binge behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it creates binges, like chronic binges from so down on yourself. You know, it's actually the exact opposite.
What you're talking about, too, reminds me of, you know, people who've had, who've lost, you know, really tremendous amounts of weight or have done surgery. I know there's a person in my family who had done surgery and had lost 100 pounds and has gained it even more back. So
exactly.
It goes back to my story earlier about thinking we have to do something, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That is where, that's the tip of the iceberg. Like, that's a I check that one off. I'm like, aha, it's a target, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me,
mm-hmm.
any doing, not any doing, how are we doing? You know, what's behind the doing? Is there...
The thought process behind the doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are we taking action from body hatred or are we taking action from self-worth? So, for example, I know what this sounds like to people because I work with people with this every day and they think, oh, I'll never be able to do that. And I would say to someone who says to me, how can I ever love my body? Well, you can. And there's a target here that we're not shooting at if we just look at food and your actions. We want to bring compassion to ourselves in the moment and bring more awareness. But more than that, we also need to release the past. In my experience, if I want to put it simply.
You know, along those same lines, the one word we haven't mentioned here, but you know it's floating around in all of this conversation is, well, especially that last caller's question, it reminds me of, we haven't said the word perfection, but don't you think there's a part of us that think, well, when I get perfect, then I can love myself, you know?
Well, thank you for saying
or
that.
Then I can make money, right?
Yes, and I totally. And I love that you said that to me because I have so much I'm thinking of. I just love this topic so much. I could go on and on all day. And the thing I really wanted to say today, too, was about that very thing. And ladies, we are the generations of women who are just, I don't know how to quantify this, but there's, you see articles about it. I saw an article recently. I was actually going to cite it today. I moved and I don't know where it is right now, but it was in a major magazine about, you know, CEOs and how critical we are of ourselves as women. So men will do the exact same work, right, or you know, as women, and the man will think he did great, and the woman will think, I can't do enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, studies
absolutely.
On this stuff right now, and nobody's alone. Yeah, we are killing ourselves out there and doing more. And I'll tell you, when I started out as a chef, I did more work than the men, hands down, and I got paid a lot less, and that's why I quit. And I said I'd never go back. And, I mean, I literally slammed the door in the face of a famous chef and, you know, never looked back. And look at that. I became a celebrity chef. So, but anyway,
right.
I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. I was like,
yeah.
I'm the sous chef, and I'm getting paid less than these brats underneath me. So these guys were screwing up the kitchen, and I had to fix it. So, but this is chronic in our society today, where we have become, it's like we've, so my mother's generation was the feminist era of women fighting to work. I mean, it's kind of, we can't imagine it now, but it was like you were supposed to be a housewife. And so they fought for the, you know, this, the first, I think it's the second wave. The first wave was 100 years ago. The second wave, well, I think we haven't spoken about another wave of feminism. And that's where we're at today. Which is, yes, of course, we're out there. But the backlash has happened on our bodies, of course,
right.
And within. And so we have done it to ourselves where we're just never good enough. We're just never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always good. I think the funny thing is all the women I've personally known who've had that have been some of the most powerful women I've ever met, like top of their game, and they're still questioning themselves.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something that you said, and I absolutely, this is a total tweetable. This is brilliant, Sandy. And that is, I heard you say that worth is the immune system for the soul.
Oh, that was an article I wrote. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And that just went all the way through me. I mean, that is so big. You know,
and that's what I mean. I hate saying this, but I don't want to turn anybody off. But like more and more, all I think about is my relationship to the divine. And I use the word God just for simplicity's sake. I know it offends people. It used to offend me. I'm not religious. I'm very spiritual, and I don't want to even offend religious people. But I don't think our creator or the whatever the creative force of this planet, this world, whatever you want to believe is a creative force, created us just to do this to ourselves. Like, how could the creator think we're not worthy ever at any moment in time? And so this is what, I mean, but we do this. Our brains do this. Our mind will tell us, and that's where we go wrong. And, I mean, where we fall off, you know, but your mind, what if your mind just doesn't know what's up?
Exactly.
You know,
well, and you know, going back to that, you know, that statement, worth is the immune system for the soul. I mean, I'm a person who I have an immune situation, and although it's, you know, it's pretty much under control, or maybe I've healed it. But you know, it was when I look back to when it all started up, it was so about worth. It
was
so
it really
about me feeling so crappy about myself that though I was probably, you know, people would look at me and think I was doing great things, but I didn't, you know.
Right. That is so interesting. Thanks
and
for don't,
and,
that.
And if you think now, I mean, how many, every time you turn around, I mean, there's another person that has, you know, some sort of immune system disorder. I mean, it's rampant, really. So
yeah.
I think that really stuck out when you said that. That is so, I will have to write that one down. It's a beautiful statement. And it's so deep, you know, it's really
well,
it goes all the way in.
Yeah, I'm glad that spoke to you. And I think that it's when you said, and this is important, I think, to even reiterate, even though I've said it a million times right now, I feel like I'm repeating myself because I hear this so much. We feel like we have to do something to be worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, only, you know, hey, if I have a great career, or you know, I can't just stay at home with the kids. Like, I hear this all the time. People get down on it. Mm-hmm. Like, shouldn't I have a career? It's like, I don't know. Like, there is no should. There is no, there's just whatever. If it's kind of, there isn't a prescription. We're a generation that gets to choose. I think that's what everybody wanted was, wasn't it more about choice? As opposed to here's a prescription for being a woman, here's a prescription for being a man.
Yeah.
So what does this do that we tell ourselves to be good enough or worthy? What if none of that's really true? It's not true or untrue. It's just, there's a judgment there. You know,
yep.
Your worth is kind of what you're born with, right? I mean, we're
right.
just... And then there's actions we may not like, right? We can say, yeah, I didn't like this. I don't want to do that. But that doesn't affect your basic worth. And men have this stuff. See, a lot of men, not, this isn't universal, but I think the Dove commercials were really, the Dove, did you see the Dove spoof, the spoof on the Dove commercial?
I haven't.
I don't
no.
know. It's big in my circle. So you know the Dove commercials that they did
yeah,
for women's
yeah.
you know, beauty? And I thought
yeah.
they were brilliant and genius. And I cried. And I posted them, and I think it's so beautiful that
yes,
they showed this is how we see
and
ourselves.
And the spoof. Yeah.
The spoof was, and I'm saying this, I'm not picking on men. I love men. But I think that we as women need to be a little bit more, no, we're not going
yeah.
to do this ourselves anymore. This is, come on, let's stop this. Let's work on it, let's whatever, but we got to let it go, is how women will devalue themselves automatically and see themselves in a way that no one else sees them. You know, the worst case scenario, these pictures people would state of themselves for anyone who hasn't seen it. You know, women would explain how they look and a sketch artist would draw it. And then he would draw how he saw them. And the two pictures were just remarkably different. How he saw them, they were lovely. And it looked more like them, actually, you know. And this was a video that I saw. And I never saw the live commercial. I saw the videos of it. And they would have these unbelievable descriptions that just, were not beautiful at all. And so the spoof was men would do this and they would see themselves as Brad Pitt, you know, when they really see themselves. And I just died laughing. I thought it was so funny. If they're so confident, you know, why can't we? You know, we need to do that. So the woman, so I will say again, we're only taking
yeah.
one question, but it's such a good one. You know, if you're saying you can't love your body, I mean, think about it. I bet you're gorgeous. And I bet there's a lot of things you can love about yourself, and we're conditioned, and we condition ourselves to get down on ourselves often because our culture has a prescription for beauty is one piece, but also we believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And beauty comes in all shapes and sizes and colors. And it isn't a size 4 necessarily. So, you know.
Well, that was a wonderful question. Thank you, caller. That just it opened up even more of this discussion. But, Lianca, why don't you go ahead now at this point? Let's just share what Sandy's got
sure.
in store for people who want to go deeper into her work.
Guys, if you're joining us on the webcast, of course, we're always at reveal.lianca.com/live. If you refresh your page, you'll get to Sandy's page. But if it's not showing up, you can also just directly enter the words that I'm about to tell you to get to her special offer because she's put together a really cool offer for working with her and getting a little, I mean, actually way deeper. I was looking through this and it's just phenomenal. So it's at eatlikeagoddess.com/special offer. Again, that's eatlikeagoddess.com/special offer. So, you know, in this is just some remarkable, gosh, just being able to work deeper. And I was reading through, and I would even say that the value is even way more than what you've even listed here. But we, you know, there's a way there. I'm going to start in the middle of it because I think that we'll talk about the bonuses in a minute. But the big bulk of this is you're going to get 5 call trainings with Sandy. And it talks about, you know, how to heal your subconscious blocks to weight loss and to find your peace with food and your body. These are 5 calls. So they're all MP3s. And Sandy, if you want to just talk a little bit more about that, you know, what did you discuss on this? Yeah, go ahead.
I would love to. And the first thing I want to do is I actually didn't know until last minute we were offering a product, and I'm very, very, very excited. And I do have this product. So I'm happy to offer it at a really, really, really steep discount. The only problem is we just changed my website, and so I had to have my assistant put it up for you guys, and I noticed a couple mistakes. So I just want to say that to you. I'm going to fix them by tonight, I promise. But it is this is my home study course that's available on my website for $297, and I'm offering it to everybody for $97. That's really a discount because even the $297 will probably go up sometime. Yeah,
we're so grateful
really
for
good,
that.
Thank you. I like offering a discount to people who come on a live call, and I think it's really important. And what you get in this program is basically everything we talked about. It's super comprehensive. I didn't leave anything out, which maybe I should have, but there's a lot here. So, you've got it all here. You've got the 5 calls, which I'm actually going to put more information up about those calls. I'm going to have her do that so you know what they are.
Yeah,
she, I think she didn't.
We're grateful
see,
that she did what
details.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah, we just rushed it for
it.
You.
She's, oh, yeah. And this is still really beautiful. She did a great job here.
She misunderstood me on the details. But that's okay, you guys. Everybody, I just want you to know the program is the home study course on the site. You can easily read about it and go to this page, though, for the special offer. That's the only place I offer it for $97. And I don't know how long you guys are having this available for callers, but it will be limited, right? So we'll
absolutely.
Make sure that
absolutely.
We know. Okay.
Yes.
This is not live on my site anywhere. It's just for everybody through you guys. And basically it's my 5 calls that walks them through how to use EFT tapping for this issue, okay, in different bits and pieces. And I take you through processes for you to use again and again. They're recordings, downloadable, of course, that you can use to work on body image, right? The specific pieces that I guide you to work on for yourself. So it addresses what the caller asked about. This is a very common issue. It addresses, the calls address the negative thinking loops, the subconscious blocks about negative thinking. Very, very common subconscious blocks, okay? So people will recognize themselves in this. This is the universal themes that I've discovered over the last 8 years. So it's actually really comprehensive, and it has you work through kind of in pieces and at your own pace, you know, what we were talking about earlier. So, for example, when you were talking about nighttime eating, you know, I know about this. Why can't I change it? Well, there's usually very good reasons, and you can tap through that, and I guide you through that in different calls. You work on emotional stress and the main causes for emotional stress and how to heal that and how to work on some lifestyle strategies that could help. The piece that's in there as well is a call that I did and then some materials about the other piece that I was talking about the difference between physiological and emotional cravings. I think this is actually really a neat piece. Is it comprehensive? Is it going to be every single thing known to man? No. Known to everybody? Known to people? no, because I don't speak specifically about, say, hormone balance, which is a big issue, but I talk about the things you can implement today that make the biggest difference.
Wow.
To know whether, Yeah, this is really neat. I actually am pretty happy that I've been able to do this for people, because it's a big question. Well, is this physiological or is it just emotional? And so there's ways to kind of tease it out. It's not, again, I'm going to say this is not, there's a lot more to your health than this, but this is a checklist that really helps for most people to at least get started. So I think that's kind of fun. And I am going to say that she put in a live call. There isn't a live call included with this. However, I do have a live program. It costs a lot more, and you can read about that. But this is a great discount for
absolutely. I mean, for the
amount of information.
The type of, yeah, this is amazing. And we're so grateful that.
No, it is. Sandy, this is incredible.
I know you were traveling and doing some stuff today and was like, great, I would love to give your listeners
I'm so sorry.
Let me get with her. No, sweet, thank you. We're so grateful because, you know, the opportunity to work in depth with you at such a heavily discounted price, like, I mean, first of all, this stuff is invaluable for, and I'm just going to say my own experience from working with EFT has been that I now am, you know, hosting, you know, wonderful people like you on a show, right? So I got to walk away from my...
Oh, great!
Yeah, I'm in corporate America where, you know, I thought that I had my handcuffs on and I never thought that I could leave and do anything. And tapping has given me that. So first of all, that is in and of itself, and the modality in which you do use has given me so much freedom. In fact, noticed that.
Thank
you.
You know, and the only reason why I use EFT after all the things I've done, I have so many certifications. I use them all intuitively now, but EFT works. I mean,
it does. It really does.
I can't believe how wonderful it is. You know, it really works for people.
And it's for the person that's really. This isn't for the person that's not willing to do the work. I mean, if you're not willing to look into it,
exactly,
and really do the work with you, then this, you know, don't choose it, right? But if you really,
actually true. I mean, so that's very, 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 very true. So kudos to you because you know you got to. But we all have to do that. And I've written about that a ton. I even just wrote an article about choice: do or do not do. You know, like it is a choice at the end of the day.
It is.
Personal growth or not. And I will say that I want to, because people get scared. They're like, oh my God, this tip of the iceberg thing you're talking about. I'm so scared to open this Pandora's box. Well, the neat thing is once you do, you kind of notice you feel so much better. And yes, quote, lighter energetically, physically, emotionally.
Uh-huh.
You love it and it keeps going and it's not so stressful. It's not therapy. You know, it's not, you're not necessarily talking about it, but not getting any emotional relief. So
one day I'd love to have you on.
Process.
Yeah, I'd love to have you on as an encore to go through the process. I mean, right now we have people
online
have never even done it before, never even heard this, but I'd love to have you do some processes with us. I mean, you know, I could totally get down on that.
Let's do it. Yeah, that's really
this
good.
Conversation. Yeah, I think we could go on, and it is. Because it's what we women talk about, you know.
What we talk about behind closed doors. Nobody knows it. I say one thing. Yeah, women will only talk about it with their friends, and it's like I just want to say that I have been talking to women who are at the top of their game in every field there is. I'm saying this on purpose, not to brag, but because I hear it from people you cannot believe are talking about their damn thighs, like. They're brilliant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd think, don't we get past this at some point? No, we don't. Okay?
Right.
No, we don't.
Right.
And she was one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. No makeup, like, super sporty, and I can't say what she did because it would give away who she was, but top environmental. I mean, to me, she was just a goddess, you know? I mean, in every way, spiritually, intellectually, cared about things that were important to the world. And she was scared that she wasn't beautiful. And I just, my heart just broke. And I just thought, thank God for my mom who, I mean, I don't know why I'm so different. And it's not that I haven't struggled. Of course I have. It's part of my story. But my mom actually was really good about that piece, like that we loved our bodies. It was important to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she fought against the mainstream flow in that regard. And I'm just so grateful. Because I hear women that I think are just stunning mm-hmm. and have no need to be doing this to themselves. And so this is how we stop.
I'm telling you, thank you, Sandy, because we need leaders like you that are willing to go there and, you know, to talk about, I mean, because this is not just about weight loss, for God's sake.
No.
It's much bigger.
Women. Not for women.
And, you know, what we've talked about tonight, we've talked about worth and self-esteem and, you know, loving yourself and so much more than, you know, losing 30 pounds or whatever. And we've talked about, you know,
exactly.
I'm sitting here looking at one of your, pieces of your program, which, you know, because my story has always been you got to do something. And, you know, this, I think I speak for millions of women, you know, and you say, you know, instead of disgust, fear, negativity, and have an overwhelming desire to fix ourselves.
Yes.
So thank
yes.
you for being willing to, you know, create something for women because, you know, sometimes that's just so ingrained. We just can't shift out of it, you know, and you know,
right,
I love
right,
the conversation
right.
that you're putting out there around this because
yeah.
it's this is Eat Like a Goddess. This has nothing to do really with weight loss, although I can see that is a, you know, a perk that can come with all this. it sounds like there's a lot of perks, you know, in working with you or your programs, but this program
yeah.
is what I'm looking at. Thank you so much for the offer of it being, you know, this is affordable for women who are, you know, really in struggle and opens the door to looking at, you know, it's way more than a diet,
yeah.
you know.
For a lot of people at this point, I would say it is. I mean, obviously there's a time and a place, but for most of the people, and there's a reason for, you know, we can talk again, we could keep going, but I think there's reasons. And for a lot of people, it's really letting go of a lot of things instead of the doing and the fixing. And, you know, the focus on our bodies as women, you know, I feel like is holding us back as a, you know, as women in general in our society at this time. And we're meant to be out in the world and
mm-hmm.
not judging ourselves so harshly to be like men or are we good enough? We're fine. And
yeah.
It's
yeah.
not about our bodies. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing the work you do. And this is a wonderful thing for more of us women to stop worrying and think we need to fix something and just be able to show up and bring our love and our contribution. So thank you for your contribution, Sandy. I mean, this is I've loved this conversation tonight, haven't you, Leonka? Could like go on and on.
Yeah, totally.
this is our kind of thing. We love this.
And thank you so much for putting this together. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we're excited to be the gift that this is being to the world. So we're so thrilled that we've had you on tonight. You are being the gift to the world with your message. So thank you for that. It's so inspiring.
Thank you.
All right. So everybody, we will meet up again next Tuesday night. And in the meantime, please check out Sandy's website, eatlikeagoddess.com, and also check out this incredible program I'm going to. And Leonka and I will be talking about this later. I know.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So thank you so much, Sandy. And anything else, Leonka? Do we need to add anything else before we go?
You know, you can always check out Sandy's replay at reveal.leonka.com/live, and you can see who's up next. So we're so excited to have everyone, you know, join us for the next call. We love you, love you. Have a very good night, guys.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.